Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IG Petrochemicals Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Dhanuka, Managing Director and CEO from IG Petrochemicals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. I warmly welcome everyone on this call on behalf of IG Petrochemicals Limited. On this call, we are joined by our CFO, Mr. Pramod Bhandari, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone has an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and on our company's website. We will give a quick overview of recent industry developments and how IGPL is moving forward. Post that, Mr. Pramod will walk through the operational and financial highlights. Industry overview. Over the decade, petrochemical industry has gone through a multiple phase transformation. The infrastructure and the ecosystem of Indian chemical companies have evolved rapidly over the last few years. In financial 2023, the prices of many bulk and petrochemical products have remained unstable due to multiple headwinds and global uncertainties. Although many organized players with strong business foundations like us were able to sail through it, we are happy to say that your company, IGPL, has seen a marginal impact as a significant part of business and raw material sourcing is done within the Western Belt of India. Traditionally, phthalic anhydride has been used in industries such as paint, plasticizers, and CPC pigments. However, over the years, its application have expanded widely to multiple industries. Today, phthalic anhydride is indigenously used in production of plastic, currency paper boards, leisure boats, windmills, sails, aircraft wings, and many more. It's important to note that this demand for phthalic anhydride is served by very few players like us. I'd like to give a company overview. Our primary product in phthalic anhydride, and we have not only pioneered in it in India, but also established a strong footprint in the global market. There are many facilities across the world that produce phthalic anhydride through the naphthalene route with dated technology, whereas IGPL is one of the few organizations that produce phthalic anhydride through the ortho-xylene route, which produces high grades as compared to the erstwhile route. At our Taloja facility, we produce phthalic anhydride, maleic anhydride, benzoic acid, and advanced plasticizers. At present, we have installed capacity of 221,000 metric ton per annum of phthalic anhydride. The plant is managed by a highly skilled workforce and adheres to all required protocols to meet high quality standards. Maleic anhydride and benzoic acids are key byproducts created through wash water. While producing PAN, the cost of producing these byproducts is insignificant to us and reflects positively on profitability. Despite the market condition, we are pleased to report positive momentum in our operational and financial performance during the quarter, driven by steady state demand for phthalic anhydride and other products. Our DEP business is also growing very well. I would like to bring to your attention that our non-phthalic business has grown by 42% to 170 crores for this full financial year. Coming to the CapEx and expansion update. Expansion of our phthalic anhydride at PA-5 unit is on track and expected to commercialize before March 2024. This will add another additional 53,000 metric ton of phthalic anhydride and nearly 2,500 maleic anhydride, contributing to more than 500 crores of revenue. In order to expand our business in downstream specialized plasticizer and UPR, we are evaluating a couple of land options for the future leg of expansion. We will share the required details as things progress. like to add about IG Biofuels Limited. The government of India has been pushing hard for strong energy security and low carbon emission with a sustainable ecosystem. Blending locally generated ethanol with petrol would improve India's energy security, allow local businesses and farmers to participate in the energy economy and cut vehicle emissions. We are delighted to inform you that your company finds a very interesting opportunity in this space and is looking forward to participate in the ecosystem. The company proposes to venture into biofuels such as compressed biogas, based compressed biogas plants to maximize India's CBG potential. We will share more information on the same in the coming quarters. Way forward. Our long-term vision is to become a well-diversified chemical company while maintaining a leadership position in the phthalic anhydride industry. In the past 2 to 3 years, we have made some strategic decisions to meet the rising demand for our products. These decisions are a part of our holistic strategies aimed at providing a better value propositions for our business partners. We are well positioned to sustain the business momentum in financial year 24. Given the company's strong performance, the board has recommended a final dividend of 10 rupees per share to reward our shareholders. This is from my side. I will now hand it over to our CFO to give you a brief on the financial performance of the company. Mr. Pramod, over to you.
Thank you, Nikunji. A very good afternoon to all the participants. I will quickly share the highlight of the financial performance, followed by which we will be happy to respond to your queries. For the quarter ended FY23, Q4 23, the total revenue including the other income for the quarter stood at 611 crore, a growth of 18% year-on-year basis, led by the better product mix. The EBITDA stood at 70 crore, which is impacted compared to the previous quarter last year, mainly due to the decline between the spread of OX and PEN, which is around 150 to 170, and sharp decline in the prices of malic anhydride, and the repair and maintenance which we have incurred during this quarter for shutdown of one PA unit due to change in the catalyst. The profit after tax stood at 38 crore for the quarter. For the financial year ended March 23, the total revenue stood at 2,375 crore, which is a growth of around 26% year-on-year basis. The domestic market contributes around 80 to 85%, whereas the international is around 10 to 15%. The revenue from non-phthalic business has contributed around 170 crore, which include the malic anhydride, benzoic acid, the DEP and other income, compared to the 120 crore of last year, a growth of 42%. EBITDA stood at 340 crore and net profit was 200 crore. The 200 crore net profit is first two quarters were very good, and then third quarter was impacted, as you are aware of that, and then we have seen the recovery in the last four quarter. The overall business performance during the year has been strengthened our balance sheet and the cash flow. We are happy to share that our strong balance sheet position continued to maintain, where our net debt stood at a zero level with a strong working capital cycle. With this, I would like to conclude this presentation and open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Nirav Jimodia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I have two questions to ask. So one is, in your one of the remarks, you mentioned that globally some of the capacities have been running on the naphthalene, and those are not that kind of the efficient capacities which we generally get while producing the phthalic through ortho-xylene route. So my question basically is, once in our conference call you have explained about the rationale of putting up a MA plant where the capital cost is being very high, and this restricts a lot of players in terms of entering into the malic anhydride market. So what can be the reason where the phthalic plants have not been coming up in large proportions globally? Is this because of the availability of raw material as a constraint, or the application-wise the demand has not been growing that way globally? Because here in India, if we see, we are expanding, our competitors have been expanding. Even one of our customers is also been going upstream where he is putting up a phthalic plant. So If you can just help this in context of the global phenomena as well as why Indian players have been expanding here, if you can just explain in context.
Good afternoon. You see, the thing is that what you've asked is, number one, in malic anhydride, I would like to explain, is that number one, the raw material for malic anhydride is not available in India. There's no availability of butane to produce malic anhydride. Plus the capex to put up a malic plant is very high. So that is the reason in India there is no malic anhydride capacity which have come in. Compared vis-a-vis to phthalic anhydride, the phthalic anhydride plants which are there, there is a huge constraint on the raw material, which is orthoxylene. And the only player in India or in this whole region, if you look at whether it's Middle East or whether it is in India, there is one producer, which is Reliance, which is producing orthoxylene. There is no other producer which is there. So if you look at even one of the customers which have expanded in the phthalic business is finding it difficult to get the source of supply of orthoxylene. And import of orthoxylene is almost 30 to 40% more expensive than the prices what we are getting out of Reliance. So this is one of the reasons that a lot of players which would like to expand into phthalic is finding it difficult to get into phthalic. Plus, for sure, the capex of a greenfield project to put up a phthalic anhydride is very high compared to the IRR which comes out of the phthalic anhydride plant. Today, to put up a 53,000 tons of a phthalic anhydride plant, we're looking at a capex of about 600 to 650 crores. And the IRR which is there is in the range of about 12 to 15%. So people are not very, and then they see that there is not orthoxylene availability. So these are the constraints which are there, which is putting pressure on increasing the capacity and the players which are already producing phthalic anhydride are expanding the capacity to meet the local demand which is there. As far as we are concerned, we are expanding a capacity, and even Tirumalai, which is the Arco, another producer, is expanding, and a customer has put up a phthalic produce, expanded his capacity. So this will take care of the requirement which is there. Globally, if you look at today, most of the PA producers which are there now are in this Asia region, which is China, Korea, and Taiwan. Europe, it has become uneconomical to Europe and America to put up these capacities because of capex and the non-availability of orthoxylene. So I feel that, I hope I've been able to answer your question.
Sir, just a small clarification on this. So one, how we would be able to secure our OX for our future expansion, that is one. And secondly, if you can, let's say, through various reports, if we read, like globally, the capacities of phthalic is close to 6 million then. So how much would be that would be on naphthalene route, and how much would be that on OX route?
So if you look at, as far as we are concerned, we have been buying orthoxylene from Reliance from 98 onwards when they started their OX production. So they have assured us that they will continue the supply to IGPL even with our increased capacity. So we are totally secured to get our orthoxylene from Reliance. A balanced quantity which we need to import, there is a production capacity in Singapore, ExxonMobil, which is willing to supply to a small quantity to India, which is there. Apart from that, we are exploring opportunities to see if in Middle East there could be some orthoxylene production which can be established. But this is a big challenge to ensure that orthoxylene production capacity can be increased in this region, which is there. As far as going forward, what was the second question you were asked?
I asked about the split of capacities between the naphthalene.
Also, yeah, naphthalene. So naphthalene, as far as is concerned, is a byproduct of steel capacities. So wherever steel production is there, naphthalene can be produced. But as far as naphthalene is concerned, mostly in China, they produce some quantity of or thalicylate through naphthalene route. So out of the 6 million ton, there'll be only 3 to 4% of production of thalicylate is through the naphthalene route, because most of the steel producers do not want to venture into producing chemicals which are there. So they use their naphthalene in other uses which is there.
Got it, sir. So second question is on the operating cost. So if we see our quarterly results, if we add up your other expenditure as well as the staff cost, like it is close to 65-66 crores of run rate. One of the reason you mentioned was the repairs and maintenance we undertook in Q4 for our change of catalyst. So, but sir, if we see over last one and a half years, some of the costs have gone up for us. And now the gas prices and the fuel prices globally have been coming down. So if there are some components of cost sitting in our expenditure where we feel that it has a scope for a downward revision because it has gone up for one time and now it is coming down, if you can just walk us through that.
Pramod, can you highlight?
Yeah. So compared to the last quarter, the cost has gone up. There are two, three reasons. The first is the shutdown. We have taken the shutdown twice during the last 1 year, which has increased the repair and maintenance expenditure. The second reason is we need to provide for, as based on the profitability, CSR expenditures that we have also provide. There are only one component which added to the cost, which is not really relative, M2M charges. So basically, the last quarter and the this quarter, we have provided M2M charges, which is based on the credit liability in terms of the debt, which is going to, we need to prepay in 8 to 10 years. So M2M charges are around 8 to 10 crore rupees. If you remove that, more or less the charges, the FY22 and FY23 numbers are matching with each other.
Got it. So this Q4 includes this one-time charge of 8 to 10 crores, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best to the team.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith Institutional. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question was on to the non-phthalic business. So this year, FY23, we had clocked a top line of around 170 crores from the non-phthalic business. This is almost 7% of the total revenue. But I believe that we have a target of taking this to around 25-30% by the next 2 years. And we haven't outlined any sort of a big capex into the downstream businesses. So does that guidance hold, or now are we revising that from the non-phthalic business?
Good afternoon. I would say that we hold what we are saying, because we are today in the verge of completing our feasibility study of the downstreams of thalicylate, which is a plasticizer and other businesses which the phthalic business is concerned. And we are embarking on getting into sustainable products, which are more on the biofuels. And as you can see, that there is the government is pressing that the sustainable fuels and energy to be produced, which we are evaluating. But I would say that more or less the feasibility study has been done. It's just a matter of executing these projects which are there now. So this will, in the next 2 years, will basically diversify the company into other products other than phthalic, more than 20-30%.
Okay. So just a follow-up on this, so considering your advanced plasticizer expansion, that would add another only around 80-90 crores to your top line with the expanded capacity also if we go ahead. Apart from that, you are venturing into biofuel, so it seems that from the current levels of 7-10%, taking it to around 25%, this investment would likely be very big into biofuel. So
I'd like to correct here, but The downstream which we are looking at on the thalicylate business, which is a plasticizer, advanced plasticizer business, that will actually add 1,000-1,200 crore revenue to the company. It's not about 90 crores. Currently, what plasticizer we are producing is going to bring in the revenue of about 90 crores. But we are looking to open a new site, which will add another 1,000-1,200 crores on the plasticizer business. and the downstreams of phthalic and maleachinite business.
So this is also the would be completed by FY25 or no? Because we have not stated any sort of this expansion yet on advanced fertilizer of 1,000 crore.
So basically the thing is that the company is very clear that we are going ahead with these products which are there. We have already done advanced study on the products which we want to get into. It's a matter of time, and it takes about 16 to 18 months to get the production up and running. So we expect that by 25, for sure, we will be in production for the plus sizer business.
Got it. So the second question was on to this quarter. We have witnessed almost 17% jump in top line on quarter-on-quarter basis. So this is largely led by volumes or realization, then what would be the spreads for the quarter which we had reported for this?
Pramod, can you
yeah. Reply to this? So the revenue has gone up because of the higher quantity of the product sold, and basically the other income include the malic anhydride, benzoic acid and DP. So the another reason is the DP, which was earlier operating at 30-40%, now we are able to achieve 80-85% of the DP. So overall income has gone up from 524 crore to 611 crore.
And sir, onto the spreads part, what would be the spreads for the quarter?
Spread actually for the quarter is between $150 to $170. Compared to the last quarter, it is almost $5-$10 here and there.
I believe the last quarter we have stated that so during that month, I believe in Jan or Feb, that time the spreads were around $200. And on quarter-on-quarter, your performance has improved.
Last quarter, it was around $140 to $150. This time, it is $150 to $180.
Okay.
Because spread is something which is changing every month and every 15 days. So when you take the average, you will get $180 to $200. But every quarter, every month or 15 days, it is changing. So we are just talking about the average spread for the quarter. Jan and Feb mid was not good, but Feb end and the March was good. Right now, spread is around $200.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Bhavesh Chauhan from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, in the last year and a half, you've seen our margins fall very sharply. So what is our outlook that when can we see our margin uptick?
You see, the thing is that what you saw a few quarters ago, where the margins had really gone up drastically, that was something which is not sustainable. Those kind of margins where we were getting 300 plus conversion. We expect the industry to get a margin which is between $150 to $200, and that is what we are basically basing our profitability which is there. So we must, if there is some kind of unforeseen or some plants are closed, we might see a spike on that margin going to $300 to $400. But we must look at that with $150 to $200 is a good margin to operate a world scale phthalic anhydride plant. So it is very difficult to say that we will see the margins of $300 to $400, which can never be predicted. But as far as the current margins what we are running at, I think it gives us a good IRR as far as with $150 to $200. And because of the economy of scale and our efficiency, we are making decent returns on our capital employed.
Yeah, I got that, sir. And sir, on our biofuel expansion, if it is not correlated to our existing business, one should we assume that in our existing business we don't have any scope of doing further capex and growth, and hence we are venturing into something that is very much kind of unknown to the company?
Here there are two things. Number one is, I'd like to state, is that as far as the current business is concerned, we are expanding into our downstream products which are there. So that will actually create more value addition which up till now the company was merely a phthalic producer, a sole phthalic producer. With the downstream, it will actually become more, get more value added. The reason for us to diversify into these products, biofuels, is because today we see an opportunity and there is a huge demand for these sustainable products, and it will make the company more ESG and sustainable going forward, which will actually get a better multiple, and the company will be seen as a more of a zero carbon company in the coming years. So that the whole concept is to derive and take the advantage of what is happening in the industry as far as biofuels are concerned, and this will actually take away from the fossil fuel into products which are more green and made out of food products which are there.
Is there any correlation between existing business and that business? How are we competent in that new business, or is it a more of an experimentation for us?
You see, the thing is that as far as we are concerned, we know that as far as the downstream products which are there, which once we put in that with the strong cash flow and the balance sheet which we have, we still feel that there is more room to expand into a more diversified industry. And we expect that the biofuel business is just at the very tip of the growth which is going to happen. So we feel that, if we are able to source the raw material for the biofuel, then the demand for these products are in India is going to only grow, because the government is now asking all the fuel to be, added ethanol, which is about 20%, and going forward, it could even increase. We're looking at in Brazil, they add 50% of ethanol, and a lot of other areas like today, the ships which are there, their engines are now running at 100% ethanol, which is there. So we expect the ethanol consumption in India to continue to grow. So we are looking at getting into businesses where we expect that there is going to be huge growth. It is only a question of sourcing the raw material, and that is where the key strength will be. So if we are able to source the raw material, then I think that to operate the plant and to sell the product is very easy in India.
Okay, and so lastly, then if we are expanding in downstream products, then should our margin get a lift in FY25 because of that?
Pramod, can you highlight on those numbers?
Basically, just to add what Nikunji has said, we as a company are a chemical company. DNA is chemical. When we are looking at ethanol and biofuel, we are looking at the downstream chemistry of that particular product. When you are talking about the downstream of phthalic, we are looking for the various derivatives, including the plasticizer, and that will add to our overall margin, because that will be a complete integrated facility where the phthalic, plasticizer and other derivatives will be available seamlessly. So it will add definitely to our margin.
Got that. Coming back to our ethanol expansion, I think there are a lot of players who are expanding the capacities in a big way. So we'll be directly competing with them, right?
Not exactly, because you can continue.
We are looking at, not only producing ethanol for fuel, as Pramod said, that we are going to produce ethanol, and we are even looking at downstreams of ethanol as chemicals which are there. So we won't be totally reliant on selling ethanol to the oil companies, but we are looking at producing chemicals out of ethanol. And that is something which we are today working with some of these labs in India, try to see what other chemicals can be produced out of these biofuels which are there.
Thanks a lot for answering.
Going forward, I feel that the world is going more towards sustainable products which are there, and there is, 2030, people are talking about countries to get more, more green products are going to come in demand. So we feel that that is a trend towards getting into more greener chemicals than producing from chemicals out of fossil fuels.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you, sir, for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, just wanted your thoughts on the near term. So our new capacity will come in around March, before March 24. So what would be the drivers for the growth in the current financial year for FY24?
Pramod, can you?
Yeah. So basically in FY24, it will be the similar to what it has been the last year. The only thing which has changed is the our DEP, which was operating at around 30-40%, will be at around 80-90%. The right now, we have seen the slightly decline in the margin. The main reason is not only the phthalic, but also the maleic prices has gone down drastically, 40-50%. If there is a reasonable amount of increase in the maleic prices and the full capacity utilization of DP, you will be able to see a slightly better performance for the this year compared to the last year. Otherwise, the true performance will come in 24-25 when we have the phthalic, new phthalic unit starting of their operation along with the maleic and the benzoic acid, which will add around roughly 500 crore to the revenue.
Sure, sir. So an approximate number, like we did about 170 crores of non-phthalic, and if we like, maybe 40-50% growth on non-phthalic going forward in FY24 as well. So approximate the top line can grow between 10-12%. That is about additional to 30-50 crores on the current top line. So about 10-12% growth we can expect from mostly coming from non-phthalic.
Correct.
And sir, on the margin side, so if I assume a spread of $150 to $170 currently, which is, can we maintain similar margins which we had in Q4?
Yeah.
Operating margins?
I think slightly better than that. If the maleic prices improve, our run rate will be around 40-50 crore, because right now the maleic prices are around 50-55% of the actual prices. Historically, the maleic prices are 10-20% higher than phthalic. This time, probably in last 1 year, the maleic prices are 20% lower than phthalic. So that is the reason the overall revenue from the other income as well as the margin is got impacted. So when it is balanced out, you will see the similar performance which we are maintaining over the last 8 to 10 quarters.
Sure, sir. And in terms of the shutdown which we had, I think so this was related to the catalyst change. So that cost would come in this other expenses of 44-45 crores?
Some in other expenses and some in the energy cost.
Okay. And then lastly, on the biofuel which we are acquiring, if you can share some details regarding what would be the capacity and like when are we going to ramp it up and what would be the potential out of it, some details on those lines.
So I think we are evaluating this opportunity. It will be too early for us to comment on that. You need to wait for probably 2 or 3 quarters before we completely coming up with the plan in terms of the capex and the setting up of the project. Right now it is in the evaluation stage. It will not be correct for me to comment on this.
Sure. So we can expect some announcement in the next 6 months around
six,
what would be like?
6 to 9 months.
Okay, sure. That is very helpful, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to know what is the capacity utilization for quarter 4 and FY23 for our PAN and MAN capacity.
For PAN, it's 90-91%, and for MAN, it's 88-89%.
And this is for the entire year, as in our quarter 4?
Almost same. There is no difference, except the sundown.
Okay, oh, got it. When was the shutdown initiated, as in which quarter of the year?
It was in Jan, which lasted for around 25 days.
This was for the catalyst change.
Correct.
So, just coming to the biofuel part, we don't have any internal working as to how much CapEx we are planning to, allocate to the sector as a whole, right? I mean, section of this business. Any internal working as to a rough estimate as to what we are planning to commit?
As you know, as what Pramod said, that we are evaluating, and there is we've got agencies which are working on providing us the information on what the market size is, what the government is looking at on the products which are there, and the most important to really put the size of the CapEx, it all depends on the raw material availability, because the biofuels are going to be produced through rice husk or maybe the molasses which are there. So the availability of the raw material is a key factor to decide what kind of CapEx we would like to invest into biofuels.
Right. So, but just to understand it, I mean, the ethanol segment is kind of crowded as of now. I mean, if we are planning to just sell ethanol to the oil companies, I mean, it is kind of crowded. I mean,
No, our focus is not to produce ethanol and to sell to the oil companies. Our focus is to produce ethanol through the rice husk or molasses, and then produce further downstream chemicals to create added value.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's all from my side.
So we have identified that there are number of chemicals which can be produced, which can become green chemicals. It would go into more on the green chemical side. So that is where we are trying to focus on taking the company towards more on the green chemical side, which is there.
Right.
Which is what we are working on.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pankaj from Affluent Assets. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir, you mentioned about the prices of maleic are subdued, almost half of what they should be. So what could be the triggers for a rally in the prices? How are they supported? What defines the prices for maleic acid? And
you see, in India, there is no maleic producer. The only maleic producer is IGPL, and that even maleic is produced of our effluent of phthalic anhydride. The supply which is there, the most maleic production is happening in China. So when China has an oversupply of maleic anhydride, then there is a demand and supply gap. So basically, what has happened is that there is a huge supply from China, which the maleic which goes into making its downstreams, there is an impact on that industry, which has actually reduced the prices of maleic anhydride. So in India, as far as we are concerned, we do not buy any raw material. Our raw material cost is zero to produce maleic anhydride, because we are using the effluent of PA, which is there. The total production which is there, whatever we produce, comes directly into our EBITDA margin, which is there. So with the prices of maleic being subdued, our EBITDA margins have reduced accordingly. But we expect that it is very difficult to really predict that, because we do not get too much of information on the demand and supply on the Chinese which are there, because they do not give too much of information about what is happening in China. And due to that, it is difficult to say that what are they going to decide on their supply and demand situation on maleic. So the entire maleic margins which are there is based on the supply and demand from China.
So in near term, you still expect the prices to be subdued?
At the moment, it looks like that the prices are going to remain where it is right now. But because the oil prices are also not looking that it is going to go up in the near future. So with the oil prices remaining more stable or continuing to the levels where it is, we feel that the prices are going to remain at these levels right now, unless until there is a spike on the raw material prices, which is oil and the gas prices. Then there could be a price revision on maleic anhydride.
Right. So going forward, which are the products which we produce where we have some pricing power? As I understand, most of them are commodities, TAN or MAN.
So that is what the reason is, that the company which is there over the years has made its balance sheet very strong. We have got a good cash flow. Our capacity is one of the largest capacities in the world, and it's more efficient which is there. So now with the cash flow and the balance sheet strength, we are looking to diversify into value product, specialty chemicals, downstreams of phthalic anhydride and maleic anhydride, which will add value and even go towards, you know, towards the ecosystem of more on the green chemical side, which will be then moving from the commodity into higher margin business, which is there.
So currently we are having 5 to 7% of our revenue coming from non-phthalic side, right?
Yeah.
So going forward, say 2 years, 3 years down the line, where do you see the scenario?
Pramod, can you talk on this?
Yeah, we are actually, if you remember that, we in the last conversation, we already mentioned we wanted around 30% of revenue is coming from non-phthalic product, which include maleic anhydride, benzoic acid, DEP, and other downstream plasticizers and derivatives. We are continuously working on this, and probably all the things we are finalizing, we are just waiting for the implementation of the project. Once the project will be there, it will add around 1,000 to 1,200 crore revenue, which you will see the 25 to 30% revenue coming from that side, which is non-phthalic product. Apart from that, we are evaluating the opportunity in the CBG, CNG blending or ethanol and the downstream chemicals. That will further add it. Our ultimate objective is to diversify more than 30 to 50% of the business from non-phthalic revenue.
2 to 3 years down the line, say from 2,300 to 2,400 crore top line, do you expect to reach 4,000 or 5,000 crores of top line?
Between 4 to 5.
And what would be the EBITDA margins, the then EBITDA margins?
That I would not like to comment, but I think that will be in the similar range what we are making today or better than that.
So you mean it's a 14-15% or 20-25%?
I think it's not right to comment because the margin vary between 15-25%. For some of the product, margin will be say 15% to 20%. For some of the product which will be linked with the phthalic will be fluctuating between 15-25%.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir, again. So, sir, you mentioned about putting up a downstream of phthalic where the size of the opportunity or the turnover for us could be 1,000 crores. So, are you also, like, thinking of putting up another phthalic plant, because then phthalic again would be required for this downstream, or will we be utilizing our existing phthalic for the downstream? So if you can...
We will be utilizing our existing phthalic. Downstream means going into value-added products of phthalic and maleic, not putting up another phthalic anhydride. We are not evaluating another phthalic anhydride business, because right now currently there is one plant which is under construction, which we expect to complete its this thing. And so right now there is nothing on the cards of putting up another PA business. The reason is, again, coming back to what I mentioned earlier, today to evaluate to put up another phthalic anhydride plant, the most important is to source the orthoxylene, which is becoming a major constraint going forward. So anybody evaluating has to ensure that it's able to tie up its orthoxylene requirement, which is there.
Got it, sir. So then probably some part of our volumes which we currently sell in the domestic market of phthalic could be used here in terms of could be consumed within our. And sir, let's say hypothetically, though it's on the evaluation stage, but let's say typically if we want, one wants to achieve 1,000 crores of sales for a downstream, how much size of downstream capacities which are required to achieve this sort of sales?
So it depends on the product mix which we are looking at. So at the end of the day, it's not right to say that we will achieve 1,000. It could even be a higher number or it could be a lower number. But the question is that today, if IGPL is looking to put up a plant, we look at what is the economic size and the world scale capacity which is there. We do not want to put up a small scale plant or anywhere we feel that we will not be able to compete with other players which are there in the industry. So if we are going to go ahead and put up any downstream which is there, we will put up a world scale or economic size plant. And we feel that looking at the product mix which we have, we should be able to achieve 1,000 to 1,000 crore plus revenue from the downstream products.
Got it, sir. And sir, a small clarification on our cash flow statement. So we have invested close to 250 crores as per what is visible in our cash flow statement. So this is majority part has been, I believe, had gone for our 350 crores expansion for the new phthalic plant. So how much it is still left to be spent on that? And is it safe to assume that what you just spoke about in terms of the downstream of phthalic, so the amount of cash flows we generate would be sufficient enough for this sort of expansion, or we need to borrow something for this? So, just a small clarification.
Pramod, would you like to highlight?
Yeah. So we have already spent around 278 crore on this expansion and planning to complete between 350 to 355 crore this expansion. We have tied up a debt of around 200 crore. On that, we have already drawn 114 crore and we have spent around 125 crore of equity. So right now, we are using all our internal accruals on month-to-month basis to fund this project. We are drawing the debt as and when required. And we believe that the 200 crore debt which we have tied up, we will not be drawing the entire debt. We will be putting more equity into that project and that will be drawn only to the extent of required.
Okay, got it. And for the downstream, if you can just clarify something on the capex part, that would be very helpful, sir.
So I think downstream, if we are talking about downstream plasticizer, it will cost between 150 to 160 crore, which will add around 1,000 to 1,200 crore of revenue. And that will be also over the period of 12 to 18 months.
Got it, sir.
And company has a sufficient cash balance on the balance sheet. As on March, it was having 360 crore of the liquid bank balance and the cash and investments. So we have sufficient cash balance for all the expansion which we have planned.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot for the clarification and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Giriraj Daga from KM Visaria Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, team. My first question was related to CapEx only. So what is the FY24 numbers we are targeting?
FY24, we are targeting around 120 to 130 crore for the phthalic plant, which is to be completed by March 2024. And for 24-25, based on the project finalization of downstream plasticizer and downstream products and other projects, we have not yet confirmed the number or it is under evaluation stage for the PVC and ethanol. For the plasticizer, between 150 to 160 crore is expected. But yet under review.
Okay. And what is the gestation period of the plasticizer plant?
Plasticizer generally take 15 to 18 months to set up the plant.
Okay. And second, the CBG plant, what is the, like any thought on the gestation?
For the CBG plant, it will be too early. We are just evaluating the opportunity and probably next few quarters, 2 to 3 quarters, we will be able to provide you more details on that.
Okay. On this related question, would it be open to some inorganic also on this side, CBG side?
Yeah, both the. All the downstream, which is the ethanol, CBG, we are open for organic and inorganic, both.
Okay. Second, just clarification, you mentioned the greenfield capex number of 600 to 650 crore. The capacity was 80,000 ton, right?
So you are talking, can you repeat the question?
So in the earlier opening remark, we mentioned that the 600 to 650 crore capex is required for a greenfield plant.
For Thalicon, right?
Yeah, for Thalicon, right? For capacity number was mentioned was 80,000 ton, right?
So basically 53,000 tons, if you go for a greenfield project, it'll cost you about 600 to 650 crores.
Yes.
Okay. Somewhere we had also
but announced... from 53,000 tons to go to 80,000 tons, there'll be a marginal cost increase which is there because, you know, you just need to increase the size of the reactor and maybe some, the distillation column which is there. So it doesn't go up drastically as far as the capex is concerned from 53 to 80,000 tons.
Okay. Well, last 12 months, go to more clarification. On the PFIs, we mentioned that the capex of 350 crore and we have spent 278 crore.
Yes.
You are still mentioning 120 to 130 crore is pending. So is there some cost escalation on the capex?
No. We have spent 240 crore. That is 114 crore. Equity is 125 crore. And 110 crore we have spent, then it will be totaling 350 crore. Why it is 350 crore compared to 600? Because all the utilities, the land and other supporting units, NCB unit are already forming part of that complex. They are already operating 4 plants. That's why we are able to conclude it in 350 crore. Somebody putting the greenfield, the same plant will cost around 600 crore. That is what our MD has mentioned.
No, that I understood. I just was looking at the remaining number. I had mentioned the number 278 crore in my note.
No. 115 debt, 125 equity, 239 or 240, and then 110 yet to be spent in this year.
Understood. Sure. Thanks a lot from my side.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith Institutional. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the follow-up. I had a question on to the imports of phthalic anhydride. Sir, I was checking the government data for imports of PAN, and for the month of March 2023, there were imports of roughly around 12,000 tons for a particular for that month. So suppose, sir, if that continues, this 12,000 ton imports of PAN for the next 12 months, that would be roughly around 2.5 lakh tons of imports of PAN, and the total demand is around 5 lakh tons. So 50% imports do you target? So do you foresee this can happen, or the number would be much lower?
No, I think you can't extrapolate that. For the quarter, it was 20,000 tons. For the quarter ended March. So for a particular month, it is not relevant. It's better to look at the quarter, number one. Number two, the existing player who is setting up the plant is importing in a heavy quantity. Once they start their plant, of course, the Indian overall import will go down. So typically, we assume between 6 to 8,000 tons or 1 lakh ton per year is the import happening, which will gradually go down once the plant will start.
So, post this import figure also, sir, of this 12,000 tons for March, we have seen that the prices of PAN have been consolidating at the higher level. Means they are not going up and not going down.
Correct.
So because of this large imports, the prices have, would remain in that range, or you feel that the prices can now...
Prices has no correlation with the import. Prices has the direct link with the demand and supply of the global market. The last quarter, the import was 20,000 ton. Before the quarter, it was 17,000 ton. Before that was 22,000 to 23,000 ton. So I think import in India is typically happening at around 8,000 to 9,000 ton, which we believe will gradually go down because another player who is importing is setting up the plant.
Okay. And sir, on the import side, so roughly around 50-60% would be the South Korean.
Not exactly, because I think some of the unit at the Korea has shut down. So import from the Korea has gradually gone down. It's I think Taiwan and China is number one and two for the last year.
Okay. And sir, onto this advanced plasticizer expansion. So we when would be the timeline when we would be? So we are announcing this CapEx because we have not yet announced. And second, onto this front only. So this suppose we expand by this size in advanced plasticizer, so considering our PAN post expansion also, suppose the current expansion from 2.21 lakh tons to around 2.8 lakh tons, how much of this would be used for downstream only from this 2.8 lakh tons to manufacture this 1,000 crores of
So whatever is the expansion we are planning, 53,000 ton, more or less near to that or slightly higher than that will be used, because plasticizer typically we need 40% to 50% of phthalic. Suppose we are setting up X capacity, so 40% to 50% of that phthalic will be used. Our new expanded capacity will be sufficient. Yeah.
Of the overall 2.8 lakh tons, so 40% to 50% of phthalic would be used. Downstream.
No, I am talking about the expanded capacity of 53,000 ton is expected to be used.
Okay.
Not 2.8. 53,000 ton expanded capacity will be mostly used for the purpose of downstream plasticizers.
And that would fulfill the complete requirement of time for DEP?
That depend upon the capacity we are setting up. That we have not discussed yet. Once we finalize that, we will come back on that. If the capacity is 1 lakh ton, then it requires 50,000 ton. If capacity is 150, it requires 65 to 70,000 ton.
Okay.
I'm just giving you an example, the ratio. Ratio depend upon type of plasticizer you are producing, and it vary between 40 to 50% of the phthalic usage.
Okay. So, sir, just for an idea, so if supposed to manufacture a 1 ton of DEP, you would be requiring how much tons of time? 1 ton or more than that?
62.62 is the PAN, and then around 38 is the 2EH. For one type of plasticizer, different type of plasticizer have different percentage.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question of our question and answer session. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, Indian chemical industry is extremely diversified and produces nearly 80,000 chemicals in a year. The Indian consumption story remains intact as per the capita consumption of various goods and services is still very low. Consumption of chemicals will go only north, and responsible and highly compliant companies like us are prone to gain. Our company is expanding our product basket and will be ready to seize these opportunities by leveraging our expanded production capacity of PAN and downstream products. We are also excited to move forward with the new business ventures in biofuels. With this new business, we will be reaching out to new clients and providing them with a strong value proposition. With this, I conclude the call and would like to thank everyone for showing interest in our company. For more queries, you can write to us, email, or contact SGA team and our investor relation advisors. We wish you all a good day ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of IG Petrochemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.